This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1971. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. First and foremost, the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. This edition recorded February 27th. Australia, Benin, China, Cuba, Denmark, France, Germany, Korea South, Nigeria, South Africa, South America, Spain, Switzerland, UK, USA, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer, John O. Wright says the Australian Radio DX Club is resuming a DX program, at least during March, via Unique Radio New South Wales. It's Mondays at 1000 UT on 5045 LSB, a 15-minute segment including some music and DX news, and of course, QSLs will be available. Send reports to dxer1234@gmail.com. That, of course, will be immediately following one of the World of Radio broadcasts at 09:30. Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener in Germany has news from Transworld Radio that they're raising money for a second transmitter at their West Africa medium wave station in Benin. Northern Nigeria is a spiritual battleground, they say. That's the reason they need an additional transmitter. 200 kilowatts. What's the frequency? No info on that, but they hope to have it paid for or on the air by the end of this year. The present transmitter is widely heard from 1566 kilohertz. Via Mike Terry, a story from Asia Radio Today, February 21st, China becomes world's largest DRM shortwave broadcaster. From having no regular DRM presence just a year ago, China has now become the world's largest DRM shortwave broadcaster. It had some DRM infrastructure in place for over a decade, which had only been sporadically tested so far. Now China operates the most DRM transmitters and has the most extensive schedule on shortwave. The initial broadcast started in early 2018 from Beijing. Services continued to roll out over the year via various transmitter sites, often on the country's periphery. A DRM shortwave transmitter in Beijing targets North China almost 24 hours a day. A second one there targets East China for 8 hours a day. Another in Urumqi in the country's west targets Central and East China 14 hours a day. One in Qixihar, Heilongjiang Province, the Manchurian Plain, is on more than 11 hours a day, reaching South and Southwest China. Dongfang on Hainan Island is on 8 hours a day on two frequencies for both North and Southeast China. And one in Kunming in Yunnan Province is on air 8 hours daily for South China. So there's now a DRM network providing nationwide coverage. Programming takes place for the first channel of China National Radio. The only issue at the moment, it says, seems to be the availability of DRM receivers, which are currently manufactured only by Gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L-L. The company makes the GR-216, which is non-portable and is not readily available, and the GR-227 digital radio car adapter. We had news a few weeks ago that a tornado damaged or destroyed a medium wave transmitter site near Havana, putting two stations off the air or forcing them to move to other transmitter sites. But now Mauricio Molano in Spain says, Radio Cuba informs us on Facebook that on February 16th, the medium wave transmitter site called El Sapo resumed operations of Rebelde and Coco from a new tower. And Terry Cougar in Florida confirms hearing both of these on 980 Radio Coco at 0106 February 17th, with Salsa back on 980 kilocycles after the tornado of January 27th toppled the tower, and their audio was reportedly flipped to the 1550 transmitter had been used by Rebelde at Santa Catalina. And also on 1620, Radio Rebelde El Sapo heard February 17th at 0110 with the usual big signal since that tornado. It multiplexed with Radio Coco on 980. Back to the usual strong signal, he says, also during local daytime in Clearwater, Florida. Yes, the 1620 gets out well. We hear it over much of North America. If there's something in Spanish on 1620, that's probably it. Nevertheless, tornado or not, there's always something wrong at Radio Cuba, or Radio Havana in particular. For example, the relay in English of CRI China on 15700 from 14 to 16 UT. From one day to the next, you never know whether it will be overmodulated, no modulated, or extremely distorted. It was 30 over 9 February 21st at 1527 with dead air except for some light crackle. On February 22nd, it was 40 over 9, but subtorted, meaning suppressed and distorted, readable if you wanted to put up with it. On February 23rd, it was overmodulated and distorted. And on February 24th, back to being subtorted. Via Hardcore DX, Stig Hartvig Nielsen advises that his low-power station in Denmark, World Music Radio, WMR, will be on the air continuously from Friday, March 1st at 07 UT until Sunday, March 3rd at 1700. That's the transmitter on 15805 with 200 watts, while this other transmitter of 100 watts continues 24/7 on 5840. Remember Tony Alamo, who used to broadcast via Radio Africa, Equatorial Guinea, among other shortwave stations, but who was convicted of sexual offenses and died a few years ago in jail? Well, I happen to notice that there is a documentary series about him called Ministry of Evil, The Twisted Cult of Tony Alamo. It's on the Sundance cable channel, starting Wednesday, February 27th. I'm going to give the times in Universal, along with the dates, Thursday at 04, repeated at 08, and the following Saturday at 07 UT. Now, there's probably an additional feed for the West Coast 3 hours later than those times. You can check your local listings. This is a four-part series of 1 hour each. Halfway through the series, of course, daylight shifting time will be imposed upon us, even in international vacuum, which means that the last two episodes should appear one real UT hour earlier. Last week I mentioned that the annual broadcast of Radio Inmenang, the Frisian voice, would be February 21st from 16 to 17 UT on 15215 via France. And in fact, it was, and it was widely heard. We sent out a reminder to numerous DX listeners an hour ahead of time, which I think probably helped many more to hear it. I posted my report about it. It came on at 16 UT, and they signed on in English, mentioning 500 kilowatts, and the addition for 2019. But the 19 was clearly edited in, replacing 18 or an even earlier number. Anyhow, the whole hour sounded quite familiar, and I suspect they were mostly, if not totally, repeating the previous program, which is mostly a conversation between a few people in the Frisian language with occasional bits in High German or in English. The date for this is coordinated with a celebration on Amrum Island every February 21st at 5 to 6 p.m. local time, when they light a bonfire of non-toxic, non-plastic materials collected over the previous months. Too bad there was not live coverage of this actual event, which would have been much more exciting. Actually, we can tell the recording was quite old, since an ID break in English at 16:39 said they were on 15215 from Jülich. How many years has it been since that original Deutsche Welle site has been kaput? We know this transmission, as well as the past several years, has been via Issoudun, France. This was putting a very good 20 over 9 signal into deep North America here. But there was constant tone pulsing interference underneath for the entire hour at the rate of about 7 times per second. As they were signing off, it continued until the exact time the transmitter went off. So I think it must have been a defect at the Isidun site. Aside from that, this fine reception into deep North America demonstrates that even at solar minimum, any European broadcaster could serve us successfully on 19 meters at our mid-mornings, but not a single station is willing to do so. Remember when, sesquidecades ago, London Calling had a separate North American service from BBC? I think it was on 11 meters, then during solar max around 1958. Anyhow, Radio Amram promised to return on the same frequency at the same time on February 21st, 2020. Ron Howard in California enjoys listening to some exotic stations, not just DXing them, such as on 6015 KBS Hanminjok Bangsong 1 in South Korea. He says February 24th at 10:03, as usual, had some white noise jamming from North Korea, but not too strong today. I was checking for the usual KBS Pops Freedom show that I've enjoyed for many years since 2015, during the 10 to 11 UT time period. During all the years, was always hosted by Kwak Yung Il. But today, clearly no Pops Freedom show from 10:03. What happened? A check of their website shows the program has changed the broadcasting time, and per audio streaming there, no longer with Kwak Yung Il as the announcer, but instead hosted by a young lady. The website shows the time as 3 to 4 o'clock, but we're not sure whether that's AM or PM or what time zone. Ron says, I will certainly miss the program with Kwak Yung Il, as he had such a distinctive voice and a fun time playing good pop songs in English. We've had a number of reports of increased transmissions from Voice of Nigeria, some of them in DRM, on 15120. Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, was noting that on February 24th from 09 UT until 910, it went off the air and came back on at 915. Nico near Paris confirms that was Voice of Nigeria in English at 10:03 on 15120, and Radio Kuwait was also in DRM, down next to it on 15110. Torsten Hamann in Germany says, also the day before at 14 UT, there was DRM on 15120, as well as the following day after 1000. But he says, as usual, at Voice of Nigeria, it's centered a few hundred hertz below 15120. And Kuwait is also slightly off frequency to the low side. Ivo says 15109.7 for Kuwait and 15119.9 for Nigeria. In the British DX Club, Kevin Ryan says on February 25th, VON has been on all day in DRM with detailed election results, listening at 1440, reading out lists of codes and numbers. I have no idea what they mean. Chris McWinney replies, those are various party acronyms. So it remains to be heard whether once the election is over, Voice of Nigeria will continue with an expanded schedule in DRM or AM. Radio Nigeria Kaduna has been broadcasting back to Nigeria via France a few hours a day. Ivo Ivanov has also been following that. But he has now found that one of those hours switched to a different service in Hausa, which has not been on shortwave for over 2 years, Manara Radio and TV. That is 07 to 08 UT on 13840, as heard February 23rd and 25th. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 1971. Based on information collected for DX Listening Digest and our website worldofradio.com, all of which are non-commercial. Thus, we appreciate very much voluntary financial support. This week, from Chuck Ermatinger, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. We mentioned last week that Centec might be closing down its shortwave site at Myreton, South Africa at the end of March, according to Jeff White on AWR Wavescan. And this week on Wavescan, he confirms that it is definite. This came up during the HFCC meeting in Tunis in late January. As of March 31st, the end of the B18 season, no more Centec and all of the stations it's been carrying. He said relays of BBC World Service will be moved to Madagascar, while Channel Africa might continue on internet only. This has led to a lot of discussion in our group. Bill Bingham in South Africa says, I would not be surprised to see it return in the future, probably in a new guise and as DRM only. That would seem to fit with our government's apparent fascination with all things digital. Either that or one hand at Syntec doesn't know what the other is doing. As of last October, it seemed that shortwave was here for years to come. And he refers us to an article about this titled, Is There Still Room for Shortwave Radio? Joe Jacob in India was wondering whether it's closing down on March 30th or March 27th, which is the date shown on their current website schedule. That is for Channel Africa. Well, of course, it's been operating Monday through Friday only. That may have something to do with it. Also, Channel Africa is conducting a listener feedback session on their notice board. If you have any comments, concerns, questions, and suggestions about Channel Africa, they have specific times for this discussion in different languages, including Friday, March 1st, from 12 to 12:40 UT in English, from Channel Africa, The African Perspective. You can call in live, a phone number is given, or via WhatsApp or social media platforms to get involved. Referring to that article from October, Kai Ludwig in Germany comments, so that panel discussion, as it turns out now, was part of final attempts to save the Myerton station. Remarks from the gentleman responsible for BBC World Service distribution are close to hypocrisy if he at the same time told Syntec that they intend to reduce their bookings, prompting the decision to close down the station. I don't see much chance of returning in a new guise. For securing a future, it would be essential to offer a continuous service to existing customers, instead of sending away everyone and later trying to sell again a service that is on its last legs, as in an original quotation from BBC. About DRM, he says, old transmitters with high-level plate modulation are hardly suitable for putting out a COFDM signal. The only possibility is to use the final RF stage's linear amplifier for the output from the DRM modulator, with low efficacy producing only a small fraction of the possible AM carrier power. I'm not aware of this approach still being in operation anywhere after operations ceased at Taldum, Bolchakovo, and Junglinster, so it would require major investments for a service for which no market exists whatsoever. The report also mentions an important aspect not discussed so far about spare parts becoming difficult to obtain and expensive. It would be interesting to find out from where they still get tubes for the old Telefunken transmitters. These are old Siemens designs, and I'd be surprised if anyone still makes them. What caught my eye was the description that Radio RSA was discontinued in 1992. I understood the service had simply been renamed. Was it a complete relaunch, such as getting rid of the old apartheid propagandists? It was not this interruption that brought an end to the broadcasts to target areas outside Africa. That they had been terminated already in 1990, shortly after de Klerk assumed office. This was well remembered in Germany because that meant broadcasts in German went away. We got a message from Jorge R. Garcia of the Pirate Somewhere in South America, Radio Piranha International, saying on February 25th into 26th he would be testing his 10-watt beacon on 6930, but planned to broadcast in the following weeks with 100 watts carrier power. And, in fact, Chris Smolensky of Black Cat Systems in Maryland says he was getting that carrier on 6930.16 during the tests around 0230. Listening to the English service from REE in Spain at 23 UT on 9690. Ken Zicke in Michigan and I have both noticed they play an awful lot of music, and not all of it Spanish music. He suspects that the powers that be allow the announcer who does the program to indulge his interest in music rather than more substantial programming. At least on February 25th, I noted he started out with a bit of news before getting to flamenco guitar music, about the rather tense situation with Catalonia. Did you know there are DRM shortwave broadcasts from Switzerland? In ADX via Wolfgang Büschel, Patrick Rowitsch in Austria reports hearing a DRM service A, or maybe he saw it, rather, on 6930.5, February 16th at 1440 UT. It's actually a data service being received, and he says it's coming from the Ampagon factory in Turgi, Switzerland, testing out their equipment. We had numerous reports of BBC World Service in English being heard on an unlisted frequency 11660 in our North American afternoons. On WRTHFB, Mauno Ritola says these were special broadcasts, presumably due to the elections in Nigeria, in addition to the usual Hausa frequencies. For at least 1 week, and it may be over soon, if not already, the additional BBC English frequency schedule was 6 to 6.30 on 17.8.30, 7 to 14, and 14.30 to 17 on 17.7.80, 17 to 19.30 on 15.6.95, and from 20 to 22.30 on 11.6.60. I think most, if not all, of these were via the Ascension Relay site. Dave Kenny forwarded that news to us. Steve McGreevy in California has some thoughts about the Arizona and California desert beacons identifying as A and W, the latter meaning windy. These have both been reported recently. I can hear them just about every night. A is on 2097.3, and that's all it sends every 10 seconds. Windy is on 4102.3. It sends W ever so often, but also with other Morse code. He says those other things it sends are the battery voltage and the ambient temperature in Fahrenheit. He says these are not my beacons, and I've never visited the A beacon, in case some folks think I am involved, but I do know the fellows responsible for them and have some insider info. The wind beacon was first heard in March 2001 when it was on 4095.5. It only sent W followed by the wind speed in pips, one pip per revolution of its homemade anemometer. And then he tells how while camping out he and a friend actually managed to locate the thing, and it is not in Inyo County where he resides. As for the A beacon on 2097.3, which we have been told and assumed is in Quartz Site, Arizona, he says it is not anywhere near there. If you're in Quartz Site, you will only hear it by Skywave. I'm not sure where it is. Now about World of Radio scheduling. For many years, we've been supplying the program to IRRS, and they have been carrying it in various ways, but not at a reliable time on shortwave until now. Alfredo Cotroneo says, effective Monday, March 4th, World of Radio will be aired each Monday at 1901 UT, an hour earlier during the summer, on 7290 to Europe and North Africa. It also may be repeated at other random times on this frequency any day of the week and on IRN Internet Radio Nexus. In fact, we had some reports that it was already being aired at that time on the previous Monday, February 25th. I tuned in a bit later and found a good signal via the remote in Holland, but with some heavy interference from China, 5 kilohertz up. And we also have some new times on WRMI, thanks to Jeff White. Richard Lemke in Alberta discovered the first one before we even found it on the schedule. It is UT Thursday at midnight on 7730. However, on that first occasion, only half the program aired before it went to an ID in music, but it is on the schedule for half an hour at that time and repeated during the next hour on 7780, which started a few weeks ago at 0100. And another time on 7730, which Richard Lemke informs us about, is UT Sunday at midnight 30. The 7730 transmission is on the 285 degree beam to the west-northwest across the southern U.S. That had been quite reliable, but on February 26th, that transmitter was off the air. And there's another new program on WRMI, according to a person called Your Host. It's called This Is a Music Show. It's each week on UT Thursdays at 01 to 02 on 5850, starting last week. Two off-air recordings of that are at soundcloud.com/thisisamusicshow. Reception at their location in Toronto was quite good. Alan Weiner of WBCQ sent us some photos of the world's biggest, most powerful free speech station. It should be on the air, he says, on or before July 1st of this year. That's the new 500-kilowatt transmitter with a rotatable antenna. Meanwhile, there are many reports of WBCQ's non-superstation on 3265, actually about 3264.9. I can't hear it well enough to really determine the programming, but Harold Froge in Michigan on a de-expedition says he was hearing some programming IDs as Blue Sky Radio and 98.1 WXNZ Skowhegan. That's the low-power station of Temtron, but they also mentioned WXNZ 780. But the 780 was probably really WXME, which is the AM side of WBCQ. DRM from WINB was missing on February 20th, but it showed up on a new frequency February 21st at 1421, replacing 13690, that is 13755. It had to be WINB with its distinctive hybrid of DRM noise on the top half and multiple non-DRM carriers on the bottom half, which no one else seems to notice or explain. But it was missing again on February 22nd. Meanwhile, I found on the twit feed of WINB from Hans Johnson their new DRM schedule from February 21st, 07 to 09 on 7315, 09 to 12 on 9265, and 12 to 17 on 13755. Not stated, but I assume that still means Monday through Friday only. And I found some more news on there, which I hadn't heard yet from Aussie Tim, that Unique Radio is back on WINB on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 11 to 12 UT on DRM 9265. Reception reports wanted. Starting February 27th, aim 62 degrees toward Europe. That is on their reverse beam of their usual antenna heading. Should reach Eastern North America, Europe, and possibly beyond. Reports on that are wanted to the same address we specified earlier for the Australian Radio DX Club on Unique Radio itself, that is dxer1234 at gmail.com. The propagation outlook from Boulder, G1 minor storm levels expected February 27th and 28th, with ANK indices peaking at 24 and 5, lesser peak of 12 and 4 on March 12th. Solar flux stuck at 71 through March 20th, as we're completing a full month of zero sunspots according to spaceweather.com. That's World of Radio 1971. Glenn Hauser thanking you for tuning in and hoping you'll make a point of hearing me again next week.